Okay, so I know that you want me to talk about what happens when it rains on the first night of Sukkot. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night in Shul. We'll talk about that tomorrow night in Shul, all those halachas as well. But for now, let's talk about something not related to Sukkot. We'll talk about the lulav. I want to go through the overview of binding the lulav and what's the reasons for the minhagim and how one should bind it and using a kashikol, the holder for it and not using a kashikol. Let's discuss those right in front of you. I gave you an outline of what I'm going to say, so let's jump right into it. This is based on a machlokas in the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says, lulav tsarich eged, meaning it is a halacha in the Torah that the lulav has to be tied together with hadasim and aravos, and if it's not eged, if it's not tied together, then the whole lulav is pasul. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Shitas Rabbanan is that the lulav is not tied together, it's not ogud, is kasher, and it's fine if it's not tied together, but it is when we do bind it together anyway because zekeli vanveu, it's hider mitzvah. If it's not bound together, it's fine, but we do bind it together, we want to, because of zekeli vanveu, to enhance the mitzvah. We'll discuss what the enhancement is in a moment. The Rambam Hilchos Lulav Perek Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Reish and Aleph say the halacha follows the Rabbanan. It's a mitzvah to bind the lulav because of noi, because of the beautification of the mitzvah, but it's not, if it's not bound, it's still kosher. So if you didn't get a kosher kol before yontif and you just hold it together in your hand, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. Let's talk about how we bind it together. First is the order in which we do it. The Bala Itzer writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that you should take the bundle and create the bundle in the order of the psukim in the Torah. So first you should hold the lulav in your hand and you should put that in front of you. And then you should put the hadasim on the right side because they come next in the pasuk in the Torah. And then you should take the aravos and put them on the left side. You should do it lulav, then put in hadasim, and then aravos in that order. The Bala Itzer is not really cited by anybody else, but nobody else seems to object. So if you can arrange your lulav in that way, lulav, then hadasim, then aravos, that would be the best way to do it. The Mishabura there in Sifkatan Ches writes in Siman Tov Reish Nun that the minag al pi sod al pi kabbalah is to hold the spine of lulav facing you. That means the thick part of the lulav facing you, and to have the back of the lulav facing away from you, and it should be arranged as they grow, obviously with the tops of the plants facing up and the place where they're cut on the bottom. What about the height? So the halacha is that the hadasim should be higher than the aravos. Why should the hadasim be higher than the aravos? So there are essentially three reasons given in the Rishonim, or the poskim. One is the Levush. The Levush writes that the Hadas comes first in the Pasuk, so it should be higher up. First come, first serve, it should be higher up. He also says that the Hadas should be visible so people don't say that you're making the bracha without the Hadas. I don't understand why. I don't understand the logic. You can say the same thing about the Arava. I'm not exactly sure what the Levush means. That's reason number two, he says. The Sefer HaPardes from the base Medrash of Rashi writes in Hilchos Lulav that the reasons are Pi Kabbalah, that it's bad for the nefesh if the arava is taller. The arava represents kochos chitzonios, some sort of a negative thing, and we want that to be lower than the hadasim. That's a reason of pi kabbalah. And the most famous reason, though, is probably that of the Vilna Gaon. The Bir Hagra says, well, we all know the famous medrash that the spine is the lulav, and the heart is the esrog, and the hadasim are the eyes, and the aravas are the lips. Your eyes are above your lips, so the hadasim should go above the aravas. That's what the Gra says, and it makes sense. If you're ordering it in that way, it should be some sort of anatomical correctness in the way you're doing it. So the hadas and the eye should go above the aravos. That's
the lulav should be below everything else.
The lulav should be below. Well, it's kind of lower-ish. It's more bottom than anything else. But okay, this is what the Gra says. The spine of the lulav, besides for the leaves, should be above the top of the hadasim and the aravos, at least by one tefach. Meaning, not just that the tippy top should be a tefach, let's say about 8 or 9 centimeters above the hadasim, but the spine. Meaning, while the central lulav still has that thick center to it, before it becomes just leaves, that has to be a tefach above the hadasim. The Kaf HaChaim writes in Siman Tov Reish Nun that the Shulchan Aruch means that it is ma'akev. If it is lower than one tefach, if it is too close to the top of the hadas, then it is ma'akev in the mitzvah, you would not be yotzei. in a letter from his grandson, Rav Yosef Chaim Sofer, which is printed in a number of luachs in Eretz Yisrael, he says that people are not careful about this, and they're wasting money. You put all this money into your lulav and esrog, and you get to shul, you're not paying attention, and the lulav is not a tefach above the hadassim, and it was all a brach levatala, and you didn't fill the mitzvah, and you have to be careful about this. That's the shita of many svarim. However, the Ashkenazi poskim don't seem to be as machmir. Again, you should try to have the spine of the lulav, a tefach above the hadassim, but they don't seem to be as machmir. There's a sefer called Agudas Yisrael, which is about binding the lulav and esrog. So he says that this is against Rav Sternbach and Moed Demuzman Mechei Leches, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher and his Haros and Meshabura, that it's not ma'akev, and it's only a lechatchila. It's a mitzvah regarding the na'anuim, how it should be shaken. But you certainly have been yotzed in Mitzilas Lulav. Rav Avram Yaakov Zeleznik, in his Sefer Luach HaHalachos HaMinhagim, he says the entire din of the lulav being a tefach higher is only if it's tied on top, if it's bound on top. But if it's tied on the bottom with the koshikol, and you don't have anything tied on top, it doesn't need to be a tefach of the spine of the hadassim, since you can wave normally, because it's halacha in waving. It's not halacha in how it comes together. So that's what we generally find by Ashkenazim. Again, we should be machmer to do it, but b'dievet, if you didn't have it above, a tefach above, you would still be yotze. The last thing, just regarding this point, is the placement. The minug, according to the Matamosha, according to the Shlon Masech HaSukkah, is that we have three hadassim to the right, two of us to the left, and the lulav in the center. That's the minhag that we have. And that's not up for debate about how many. The placement of where they go is the discussion right now. Again, three hadassim on the right, two aravos on the left, and the lulav in the center. The Arizal, and this is cited by the Magen Avraham in this Siman and Shulchan Aruch, says that the lulav goes in the middle with one hadas on the right, one hadas on the left, and the third hadas on the spine. So you have them one, two, three across, and the Aravos is one on the right and one on the left. That's the Shita that Rizal. The Shar Tzion in the Mishnah Berurah cites the Prima Gadim, who says that only someone who is muchzak b'chassidus, one who knows, you know, Kabbalah, and one who is an expert in esoteric parts of the Torah, and a very big tzaddik, should follow the Shita that Rizal, and with tznius, not in public, it shouldn't be made known that you're going against the Minhag Yisrael. However, the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya and the Chuvas Yeshiv Moshe, both Hasidic Ravs, so they say anyone can do this, and many Mekubalim, many Hasidim do this, where they have, again, they have the Aravos, one and two on each side, and the Hadassim, one, two, three, across right, left, and in the middle. The Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah has a whole discussion. Do you put the Aravos and the Hadassim in front of one another, or vice versa, depending on the Arizal, which is front or back, but we don't do that here, so we're not going to go too much into that right now. Let's talk about the knots and the rings. The Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh and Aleph says that the way to bind everything together is with a full knot, a kesher shel kayama, that would be usher to make on Shabbos and Yantif. And that means a double knot. You have to tie a double knot around it to hold everything together. A bow, a slip knot, anything like that that would come undone would not fulfill the mitzvah. What is the hiddur over here? What are we trying to accomplish by doing this? The Chaber says, kesher al gabi kesher, a double knot, if you want to have a proper egad, a proper tying over here for what's going on in this mitzvah. What does a double knot have to do with zek keli vanveu, right? If the whole mitzvah here is to tie together, why is a double knot a better hiddur mitzvah? Why is that more beautiful than a box knot? Or, you know, a sailor's knot? Or something you learned in Boy Scouts? Why is that a better hiddur than anything else? So the Minchas Asher Rav Asher Weiss in Parshas Bishalach, he has a long discussion there about hiddur mitzvah in general. And he has a very nice chiddush that there are two types of hiddur mitzvah. One type of hiddur mitzvah is in the beautification of the mitzvah, right? You have a beautiful esrog box. You have a beautiful, very nice pair of tzitzis that are white and clean, something like that. That's one type of hiddur. Another type of hiddur is not in the aesthetics of it, but rather that I can perform the mitzvah better. It's a type of hiddur mitzvah if I've done something that allows me to do a better mitzvah. The hiddur of eged lulav, he says, is not a hiddur in how nice it looks. That's not the point, right? Some people, you can walk into one of the Judaica stores here and spend $24 on a very fancy kashavach that looks, it's like braided and it has all types of things around it. It's very fancy. Is that hiddur mitzvah? Is that a noy mitzvah? No, says Rav Asher Weiss. Because the hiddur by eged mitzvah is not in how nice it looks, but rather it's a hidurin v'lakachtam lachem, your ability to take it. The more tied together the lulav is, then the easier it is for me to take it and to fulfill the mitzvah properly. It's a greater form of lekicha tama. And therefore, it's not important what the egged looks like. It is important, though, how secure it is. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says a double knot, a keshal gabi kesher, because that will make it a greater way to be able to have a lekicha tama, an easier time to take it. In fact, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Luluv in Perek Zayin, he says that it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar to be ma'aged the lulav. Why does he say mitzvah min hamuvchar? Why doesn't he say it's a beautification of the mitzvah? Because it's not a beautification of the mitzvah. It's a better way to do the mitzvah by simply having it with a better knot. The Ramah disagrees with all this. And the Ramah says you don't need a double knot. You just have to bind it in a way and make sure it's wrapped and bound. And that's totally sufficient. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sipkat and Yud Aleph that the bottom of the kesher should be a full kesher. And the rest, the bottom one that holds it together should be a full kesher. But the other ones around it can just be wrapped around. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Chayadim, they cite the Mechaber as the Halacha. But the Mishnah Berurah does not. The Ramah says you don't need to have a double knot. Now let's move on to the rings. On top of the mitzvah to bind the three minim together, so the Mordechai writes in Masechta Sukkah, B'shem the Ravya, that there's a mitzvah to bind the lulav itself. There's a mitzvah for Ashkenazim to tie the lulav itself, since it says, Kapos Tmarim, but it's chaser avav. It says kaf pei saf, and it's like a kaf. It should be like a hand for 6 days. It should be like a hand. It should be tight together, like a kaf, for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you should unleash it, meaning on Hoshana Rabbah, you take off the rings where it can be not as tight. That's what the Rav Yah says. And therefore, Ashkenazim, the minhag to bind the lulav itself with rings. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Yadalib that you shouldn't tie rings on the top of the tippy-tippy top, because then it won't do what? It won't shake. It won't shake. You won't have na'nuim. And therefore, the top tefach has to be opened. And the Makor Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Bikurei Yaakov explain, this means the shidra, meaning you should not bind the top tefach of the lulav itself. Sometimes you see people, they have knots, they have rings all the way on top. It's too high. It should not be within the top tefach of the spine. It should be lower than that. The Kafachai mentions the minhag to tie the lulav in a way so that the leaves of the hadas and the rabbas don't spread out on all sides. And therefore, if you see sometimes by Sfardim, they wrap the entire thing around it. Sometimes Sfardim, they'll have the whole thing bound around the Hadassim, the Aravos and Lulav, all have one ring around it holding everything together, so they don't fall off to the side. How many rings? So the Ramah says the Minigas have three rings. The Mishnah Berurah says three rings, Keneged, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Taz says that in general, the Igud can count as one of the three, meaning the thing that's holding the whole thing together can be one, and you can have two more. That's what the Taz says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says in the Chayadim. The El Yerabah says, no, there needs to be three rings on the lulav itself, on top of the Eged, on top of the thing binding it together. The Sefer Chaim Ubracha writes that the minhag is to have a ring on the Eged itself, and two rings on the lulav, which is what most people have. One thing holding it together, and then two more rings on the lulav. The Arizal has 18 rings on his. I've never seen such a thing. Maybe you can send me a picture if you see it, but 18 rings. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's very small rings. I'm not sure. Let's see. The last thing we want to talk about is the kashikol, the famous holder for the minim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafresh and Aleph that you combine the lulav with min acher. You don't have to use species of the dal minim to bind it together. But the Magen Avraham says that this is not a chatzitza, because anything that's for noi, anything that's for beauty, is not a chatzitza. And the Mishnah Berurah elaborates on this as well. Nevertheless, the Chaim Ubracha writes, which has all the major minhagim of lulav, that the minhag is to bind the lulav with lulav leaves. If you want to take rubber bands, you could. But the minhag is to use another species itself, like lulav, in order to bind it together. Who doesn't like kashalach, and who does? First, let's list all the people who don't like using kashikol. So the first is the Tshuva's base, Dovin, Siman Tov, and Dalet. A kashikol is not correct because it's not a kesher. I have not knotted anything together. And it should be like in Agudas Ezov, right? When in the Torah, you take the hyssop and the aguda, and you use it in the Torah, the halachas, it means a double knot. The aguda is tied together with the kesher lekesher. And aguda means it's a knot that's holding it together. The Chassam Sofer writes in his Chedusha Masechah Sukkah, it's not v'anvehu. It doesn't beautify it. I'm not sure why. I mean, according to Rav Asher Weiss, it makes sense. Why? Because does that hold it together better? Maybe not. Maybe yes. Is it physically nicer? For sure. Some of the kashrukals are very nice. But if the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to have a better kesher of holding it together, maybe the kashrukal is not better. The Bikurei Yaakov is also against kashruklach because it's not a kesher that's usher to be made on yantiv, and that's the status of a kesher. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was also against it for a very different reason. Rav Shechter brings another sharav that the Rav felt that it's wrong to use a kashrukal. Now, even though we say lulav ein sarach eged, you don't actually have to bind it together. It's more lechatchila to be ma'agid lo, right? We know it's better to tie it together. So the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph has a havamina. They want to say that just like there's ta'as sevelomina asui, you have to put the schach onto the sukkah l'shem schach by yourself, and you can't have it by itself. You have to do it. So too, there's ta'as sevelomina asui by a lulav and esrog. That it can't happen by itself, you have to put it together. The problem is that, and what's his point? So then, he says, if you have a kashrukal with aravos and hadasim in them, right? And then what do many people do? When you want to preserve your lulav and esrog, what do? You slip out the lulav, you wrap it in your, whatever your choice of segula is to keep your lulav and esrog fresh, right? And you put it in the fridge. And you take it out the next morning, what do? You slide the lulav back into the kashrukal. That's ta'as avlomen asoy, says the Rav. Because I didn't bind it together. I didn't make the eged. The eged, the knot was already there, said Rabbi Soloveitchik. And therefore, it's not going to be a proper, it's not a kesher that's binding it together. And that's ta'asa volomina asoy.
Where did we get that you
need ta'asa volomina asoy by the alumni? The Gemara
in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph.
Yeah. It makes, I think it makes, because they're next to each other in the Torah, I think it compares the two. Okay. Rav Shechter there in the Sefer says he doesn't understand why this is correct. We don't paskin that you need to have eged. So we're going to say that you can't have a kashrukal, even though the din is you don't need to have an eged together, because tassel and usso, it doesn't make any sense. And he says the Sefer, the last piece in the Sefer Chaim Ibracha, the Sefer Chaim Ibracha goes al pi seder aleph beis. By the section of tassel and usso, he says clearly that there's no problem slipping in and out of an eged. You don't have to untie the whole thing each day in order to put it together. Who are the matzirim? Who allows kashrukals? Well, the Mishnah Brura cites the Sefer Agura B'Halacha, who says that it's kosher, since the entire kesher is only a din of noi. It's a nice thing that we do. And the only conditions that should hold it tight and not come undone. That's what a kashrukal does. It holds it tight, and it doesn't come undone. Now, I think there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura. Okay? The other day I was looking at the Mishnah Brura. I think there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura. You'll tell me this is a good steerah. The Ramah writes in Tafresh and Dalad that it's a hiddur, it's a nice thing to take new aravos every single day of Chol HaMoed and to tie them to the lulav. You can get new aravos every single day, it's nicer. They're not turning purple, they're not turning brown, they don't get ripped out. If a person could do such a thing, it's a proper hiddur, says the Ramah. Look what the Mishnah Brura says about that. Kasav Bikurei Yaakov. Rav Yaakov Anlinger writes in the Bikurei Yaakov, Dehainu she yikshor osami bachutz im halulav, meaning you should tie them around with the lulav. Velo ka'osa, not like those people, shetoch bin osa be'egen, they stuff them into the binding, tekvar kara tagar al minag zeh, Hel Yerabba was screaming about this, daladeze, hu machnes omosi tamen apamim noshim. Can you imagine, every single day, you're taking your rovos in, you're taking your rovos out. What happens? You don't have any leaves in by the third day, right? You're ripping them in and out. It's not going to work. Noshim rova alin, the whole thing falls out. And that's what the Eli Rabbah says. And then says the Chavetz Chaim himself, the Gambal of Hachi, besides that, the Shlomar delo mikri eged kilchoso. That's not an eged. That's not a binding lehalacha. Shein ze kesher mamish. Because that's not a kesher. Kevan shemachna sumotzi. By a koshikol, you are simply putting in and putting out. That's not being mekasher. That's not binding it together. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you need to undo it and then tie it back together. But he told me before that koshikals are good. So I think there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not the first steer in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a famous steer in the Mishnah Berurah that Rosh Hashanah likes to point out about something that's a Dover Shemekabal Tuba holding up something by the Schach. The Mishnah Berurah seems to have a steer in three different places there as well. Okay, so there seems to be a steer here as well regarding the koshikals.
Does anybody you know follow this second sheet of the Mishnah Berurah?
Untied each day? Yeah. Not that I've seen. I'm sure I've got Svardim who are Machmer for... That assumes a person's putting a new Aravos. If the person's not putting a new Aravos every day, then it doesn't matter. But if a person is putting new Aravos, then it would seem, I guess they would have to... And they're not. You can't make a koshikal every single day of Yontif. That's crazy. You don't have time to do that. So they have to be using some other device in order to hold it together. Rav Menashe Klein, Shuvas Mishnah Halachos Chelukat Aleph, says the meaning is that people take a koshikal and look at the words of the Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Zayin. L'chein atah nagu la'asos tabos na'os me'ali halulav atzman. The meaning now is to make these very beautiful rings from the leaves of the lulav itself. Retochven osos shlosha minam. And you're able to insert into it the three species, the socha tabos, into these designated rings. He's describing a koshikol. Umiyafin hamalacha bekliyana, and they have a beautiful braiding b'shlosha chalalim around the three holes. B'chol minumin nischa b'chalo, and each species goes into its own designated hole. B'zeu noy la hamitzvah. This is a beautification of the mitzvah, the chenogen, and this is the minhag, says the Aruch HaShulchan, and it certainly is. In the Sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp, he says that it's a better eged if everything is touching each other, but not if they're compartmentalized. Now, even in a koshikol, everything ends up touching each other beneath the rings itself. But he wanted to suggest that it should be just a sleeve where everything goes in at once. But I don't think one has to be machmir for that as well. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and it's according to Halicha Shlomo, would tie a double knot on top of the koshikol, meaning he'd use a koshikol, and then he'd take leaves and tie a knot around that in order to be mekayim, the sheets of the mechaber as well, to have a double knot on top of the koshikol.